There was a, when the title was made for the series, I was inexact because I'm very poor at making titles. And so Rabbi Shachter asked me what I wanted to put down. So I said something about halachos related to midos beinanam lechavera. It is not going to be about halachos of aspects, particularly bein adam lechavero types of things in Shulchan Aruch. What we're going to discuss, God willing, throughout the rest of the summer, are midos. Working on one's midos, we're going to pick a different mida, a different area of midos every week, and we're going to learn together the halachos that pertain to that mida. We're going to come from two perspectives, from that of drush and agada and machshava, and at the same time, we're going to come from a perspective of halacha, of what do the poskim, what do the svarim have to say about these particular midos in a halachic perspective. And with that introduction, we're going to jump right into an introduction to the halachos of learning about midos. When we talk about someone has good midos, they have bad midos, where do we look to? How do we categorize what is a good midah, what is not a good midah? Where's the source of midos? Are these part of the tarig mitzvos? Are they not part of the tarig mitzvos? Where do midos, acting properly, fall into the spectrum and the rubric of what it means to be a good Jew? The Chafetz Chaim was revolutionary in many ways. The Chafetz Chaim was really the first person to take something that was in the realm of Midos, i.e. the laws of Lashon Hara, and to write a sefer with chapters and verse in different places in order to categorize this aspect of Midos of Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim did something that kind of set the tone for the next 100 years, where authors would take topics and write about aspects that are not in the Shulchan Aruch in particular, and elaborate them to give us guides and methodologies in order to work on different aspects of our midos. In fact, if you look in the haskamos, the approbations given to the Chafetz Chaim's work Avas Chesed, which is laws dealing with money and different aspects of tzedakah and paying workers on time, the Netziv wrote an approbation to that work. And the Netziv writes that really this is a new thing, because the Jewish people inherently know what are proper midos, the proper way to act, and the Chafetz Chaim is really tearing a new path that was never done before, to really go through midos and learn them in a concretized, in a very serious way, instead of just learning like, oh, these are good midos, this is the proper way to act, as was done from one's mother and father. Let's jump right in. Rabbi Saul Salanter has a letter. And Rabbi Saul Salanter's writings are limited mostly to about 30 letters that he wrote to his Talmidim over the course of his career. He didn't really write any Sfarim on his own. And in Igeres Zayin, in the Or Yisrael, and in Igeres HaMusar, the Rabbi Saul Salanter says that learning Torah has the power to heal the neshama of a person. And on a basic level, he says, when you learn about mitzvos, you understand and see the severity of the punishments that come along with violating the mitzvah, and the great reward that comes with keeping the mitzvah. And the Rabbi Saul Salanter says, if you want to work on an area that you are failing in, you have an issue of kas of anger, you are too haughty, whatever it may be, says Rabbi Saul Salanter, learn the halachos about that area. If a person feels that they need to do tshuva for something in Shmir Shabbos, if they feel they need to do better in Shmir Salashon, says Rabbi Saul Salanter, not only is there a natural cause and effect, well, if I learn the halachos, I'll be able to keep this aspect better, but also there is a supernatural inyan skuli. If I learn the halachos of this area I want to be better in, something will improve in my neshama, and I'll be able to be better in that area. So therefore, he says, learn the halachos of what we want to be better in. On a more specific level, if a person learns halachos of an area that he's struggling in, or the details of choshen mishpat or gaiva, he says, he'll become more sensitive for business law, being humble. This same idea is repeated by the Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emunah B'Yitachon, Perek Gimel. The Chafetz Chaim in his Chovas HaShmira says, based on the Bamidbar Rabbah, that when a person learns Divrei Torah, when a person sits and learns Torah, they come to a shir, Hashem takes away the Yitzhahara regarding that matter. If you go learn about that thing, Hashem will give you a little push, a little more wind in your sails to be successful in that area of halacha. And perhaps this is the understanding of the beginning of the famous brisa of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. We know the brisa of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair because that is the foundation of the Misyal Susharim. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto built his whole system based on this comment of the great Tanner Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and how a person should go step by step until reaching levels of Ruach HaKodesh, and a person could be Mechai Mesim, bring back the dead. The issue is this, though. When you learn the Mesilas Yesharim, so a person knows that the first step is Zahirus and Zrizus, that a person should be careful. But we forget the first part of the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa is, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, Torah Mivia Liyadei Zahirus. The learning of Torah is the foundation, is the first thing. First you have to learn the Torah, and then learn what to do, and then be able to grow and become a better person, and a chassid, and a tzaddik, and all these amazing things. But it comes with the foundation of learning Torah first. Rashi explains that by learning Torah, you become more aware of the laws of the Torah, and therefore you can be more careful in mitzvos. Which leads now to the following question. Why is it that midos are not listed in the Tarayag mitzvos? How come we don't have in the 6 to 13 mitzvos, be nice? Or we don't have, you know, that you should speak nicely, or that you should, you know, help old ladies cross the street? How come we don't have midos, what we call the area of perhaps like Pirkei Avos, are not listed within the Tarayag mitzvos? How come Hashem, if they're so important, that, you know, the Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, all those things, how come it's not listed within the Tarayag mitzvos? So we have a number of explanations of the Rishonim and the Achronim who struggle with this issue. If midos are so important, how come Hashem doesn't delineate them? How come they're not brought down in Shulchan Aruch in many cases for us to follow? The first really to discuss this in a major way is Rav Chaim Vital, the famed student of the Arizal. And he writes in his Sefer Shari Kedushin Chelek Aleph and Shar Beis, and he says that the reason is because Midos Tovos, being a good person, is the foundation of Tarayag mitzvos. You cannot begin to understand 613 mitzvos unless you first work on your Midos. As we say, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. It is the first thing before you walk into the Beis Medrash, before you come to the Shir, that you have to have good midos. And therefore the Torah doesn't have to list it. It's like telling you, breathe before you go to the doctor's office. Of course you have to breathe. The doctor doesn't have to tell you to do that. Those are the basics before it, and you have to be a good person. He writes as follows. He says, Lefichach, Ein ha-midos mechlal ha-tarayag mitzos. Midos are not part of the 630 mitzos. V'anam heim ha-chanos ha-ikarios, because they are the major preparation. Tarayag ha-mitzvos b'kiyuman o b'bitulam. Whether you keep the mitzvah, you don't violate the aveira. Ki yoser tzarech lizar mimidos haros. You have to be more careful in having bad midos. Yoser mikim ha-mitzvos asei velos asei. More than actually doing the mitzvah, says Rav Chaim Vital. It is more important to have good midos than to actually keep the mitzvos of the Torah. Ki b'yosa bal ha-midos tovos b'nakel yakayim kol ha-mitzvos. Because if you have good midos, it is much easier to fulfill the rest of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And many of the Rishonim as well grab onto this idea. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Pirkei Avos and Perek Gimel that the first thing a person should do is fix his midos. Without midos, a person cannot learn, he says. Uvazet tishkon ha-Torah alav, she'enenu shochenes lo'olam b'guf she'enu bal midos. Torah cannot dwell inside of the person who does not have good midos, he says. Lo she'ilmot ha-Torah, he cannot learn Torah, v'yachakach yichal ha-mitzos, ki e'ef shar. It is impossible, he says, that a person can actually connect to the Torah without having good midos. Without having good midos. If you find someone that knows a lot of stuff about the Torah, but they don't have good midos, they're not actually connected to the Torah. It's just a facade. It's not actually the Torah itself. Similarly, the Hakdam of the Orchos Tzadikim, who wrote the Orchos Tzadikim? Anybody know? What? No, we don't know. It was a trick question. It's anonymous. We don't know who wrote the Orchos Tzadikim. It is one of the great works of Musar and Hashkafa. It is anonymous. We don't know who the author is. And he writes as well, Ukishein b'yadcha midos tovos. If you don't have midos tovos, ein b'yadcha Torah umitzos. Put that on a bumper sticker. If you don't have midos, you don't have Torah mitzos, he says. Ki kol ha-Torah teluya b'tika midos. Because the entirety of the Torah depends on fixing one's midos. Yes.
Hashem.
For sure, 100%.
It seems even more important than it has to be taught.
For sure, that's why we're here today. Good.
It's not in the Torah.
Let's look at Ramban. The Ramban in Devarim in Perek Vav uses the same idea to express a famous pasuk, but an often misunderstood pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Ve'asisa hayashar v'hatov." You should do what is right and good. Comes the Ramban and asks a very, very sharp question. Come on. Vasisa Hayashva Tov, you should do good. That's like one's spouse telling you to go to the grocery store and buy groceries, but they don't tell you what to get. What am I supposed to do with that? Buy groceries? I need a little bit more information. Vasisa Hayashva Tov, go do good things. So says the Ramban, what am I supposed to do with that pasuk? What does that mean, Vasisa Hayashva Tov? So he explains as follows. He says, I'm going to tell you now. Gam ka'asher lo tzivcha tein da'ascha la'asos hatova yashvenav. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if I'm not explicitly telling you what to do, you need to do the right thing. Ki ohev hatova yashar. Hashem loves goodness and yashrus, righteousness. V'zeinin gadol, this is a big deal, says the Ramban. L'fishi efshar lahazke b'torah kol hanhago sa'adam im shcheinav reyav v'chol ma'aso masnav v'tikono hayushu v'minos kulam. Says the Ramban, at a certain point, by the time of the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Hashem says, if you have not gotten the picture yet, there's very little I can do to help you. If you have not learned through Bereishis, and Shemos, and Vayikra, and Bamidbar, and have not figured out the right thing to do from the other misses in the Torah, giving you a paradigm and a perspective of how you should act, at this point, says Hashem, you're on your own. Look back at the first four books of the Torah and see how I've modeled for you, how I've showed you what to do, and then do Vasisa Yashva Tov. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I cannot tell you every single detail. At a certain point, you have to pick up by yourself and realize the right thing to do. Hashem cannot tell you every single time you interact with this person or this person and this in-law and the sister and the brother and the neighbor. Hashem cannot hold your hand through every single second. You have to look back at the Torah, see what Hashem has told you to do. After I've spoken about Lashon Hara and not taking revenge, and don't stand idly while someone's being hurt, and don't curse, stand for the elderly. Hopefully, says a Kaddish Baruch Hu, by all of this, you'll get it. You'll look at the Torah as a guide, and if you're sensitive to what the Torah says, you'll figure out what to do. Essentially, says the Ramban, Midos are subsumed under Vasisa Yashva Tov. Be a good person. Look at the rest of the Torah. See how Hashem wants you to act. And Vasisa Yashra Tov, do the right thing. And that will be the place you learn Midos. The Gemara in Makos Chavdal is the famous source of Tayag Mitzos. How do we know there's 613 Mitzos? It's based on one small comment in the Gemara Masachas Makos. The Torah doesn't say there's 613 Mitzos. The Torah does not come numbered with lines telling you where to look. We have a Gemara, Rav Simlai says, there are Tayag Mitzos, there are 613 Mitzos. So the Gemara says that after David saw there were 613 mitzvos, he showed that all 613 mitzvos can be found in 11 principles. And the Gemara goes through a number of different principles, all related to midos. The Gemara shows that how all 613 mitzvos extend from having good midos. On this idea, Rosh Shmuel Rizavsky, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich, writes, "Shederech Eretz hi ha'achana v'hakli kibul Torah." Derech Eretz is the vessel that allows you to catch the Torah. It is the cup that allows the Torah to fall into. If you do not have the cup to catch the Torah, you cannot have any Torah yourself. And this is approach number one. The reason why there are no midos listed specifically in the Torah is because this is a prerequisite. It has to be there before you learn Tariag Mitzvos, before you go to Hilchos Shabbos Shir, before you go to Hilchos Tefillah Shir. You have to have good midos beforehand. This is approach number one. Number two comes from Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the famous Or Sameach. Rav Meir Simcha was the rabbi in Dvinsk in the beginning of the 20th century. There were two rabbis in Dvinsk. One was the rabbi for the Litvaks, that was Rav Meir Simcha. The other was the rabbi for the Hasidim, the Ragachover, and they lived together and coexisted harmoniously in one group. So the Or Sameach writes in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he's explaining how come the Torah doesn't specifically say how much Torah we're supposed to learn. How come Hashem doesn't say you have to learn 2 hours a day? Torah, which is so important, you would think that Hashem would give us a guide. We know how to pick up a Luv and Esrog. We're so specific, you know, when it comes to Shofar. And we know all the details about all these different types of mitzvahs. How come when it comes to Talmud Torah, says Rav Meir Simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interestingly silent? and doesn't say how much we're supposed to learn. Why doesn't he give us a guide? So he says, there are certain things that are easy for a person to quantify, and there are other things that are more complicated. And therefore, when it comes to those things that are more complicated, the Torah says, it depends on the person. It is simple to describe how to wave a lulav and esrog. But when it comes to how much Torah a person has to learn, it's difficult because every person is different. Some person works 12 hours a day. Another person works 5 hours a day. Some people have complicated lives at home. Some people's lives at homes are a little bit more simpler. Everyone has different things on the plate, different things to deal with. And therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, the Torah cannot tell you how much Torah to learn because it depends on the person. Now that cheshbon will be between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of days. After 20 years, Hashem will sit with you and say, did you really not have enough time? Let's go back and see what you're doing on your phone for, you know, during that baseball game. So we'll see how much time you didn't have. That'll be between you and Hashem. But in this world right now, I can't delineate for you because it's hard to know based on a person's circumstances. And then he writes as follows. Therefore, that's why the Torah does not tell you how to conduct yourself when it comes to midos. Why? Because it depends on the person. It depends on the circumstances, the time and the place how to act. Maybe this place you need to be a little bit more harsh with the person you're dealing with. This person needs to be a little bit more soft. This place requires a little bit more of English on the ball for this type of mida. A little bit relaxed over here. Midos are like Play-Doh. They depend on what's going on, how it's going to be used, he says. Similarly, the Mechta Melio, Rav Dessler, writes in Chelek Dalet in page Lamed Tes, and he cites Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, explaining an idea in Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon. We're not going to get into the Kabbalah, but we're just going to see how Rav Dessler brings out this idea. The Gra explains that there are no bad midos. We make a mistake when we view the world of midos, and we think there are bad midos and there are good midos. There is kas, there's anger, and someone who's soft. There's someone who has gaiva, and there's someone who is, very not so careful about their kavod. We think there are good midos and bad midos. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's wrong. We have a skewed perspective. There are midos. There are tendencies that people have. And how you pull the line on that tendency is how that mida can be used for good or bad. It is a tool. A hammer can be used to build. A hammer can be used to hurt. The same thing over here. A person has a sense of themselves. If a person has a lot of sense of themselves, so then they're very haughty and most likely unpleasant to be around. If a person has a lower sense of themselves, so then they are sniveling and have no backbone and get pushed around and go through life being treated like a piece of garbage. That's not a bad mida or a good mida. It's a mida regarding one's yeshus, one's ego. Where you put the ego on the line depends on what you do with it. That's how you define it. A person can be someone who is very exacting and wants to make sure everything is done a type A personality type of way. And for one end of the scale, perhaps that's a little bit too much. And it's irritating to those around them and they can't deal with them because the garbage has to be tied a certain way. On the other end of the scale, a person lets everything go, doesn't care about anything, and the house looks like a pigsty, and the house is unhealthy. Again, it's a mida where you put it on the scale. So says the Vilna Gaon, sometimes midos can be used for good, sometimes they can be used for bad, depending on the situation. Perhaps a person needs to take a proper revenge on someone, so to speak. A person needs to be taught a lesson in the proper way. And therefore they need a little bit of nekama in order to be used in the right way. And perhaps that issue of nekama would be used improperly. And therefore, because nekama is taking revenge. So because midos depend on the circumstance, it cannot be counted amongst the mitzvos asay, mitzvos los asay, because it depends on the person. That is approach number two to the midos. Yeah?
Like they say a person has a mida of mean streak or whatever, yeah. You use it to be a Mayo or something like that.
Correct. The Gemara in Shabbos says that a person who's born under the star of Mars, of Edom, has an inclination for blood. So the person can become, you know, a murderer, or it can become a shochet and a moel, and they get their blood fixed a different way. A similar idea to that as well. Correct. Now, just before we go on to the next section, truth be told, there are some midos that are listed in the Torah and counted, just for the sake of intellectual honesty, and perhaps we'll discuss those at another time. For example, lo sachmod, not being jealous of somebody else's stuff, lo sisnas achicha bilavecha, not hating another Jew in your heart, lo selech rechil ba'amecha, not speaking lashon hara, v'hafterecha kamocha, obviously, loving a fellow Jew, gaiva, the Gemara and Sota, counts as a mitzvah, as of the Smag, and the Shari Shuvah, and the Ramban, and the Chafetz Chaim, count gaiva as a mitzvah lo saseh. So there are some areas, but we'll put that off to the side. Now that we've discussed that there is a realm of halacha, of midos, let's go on to another topic, and that is there lifnei iver when it comes to midos? We know there's a principle of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Before a blind man, you may not place a stumbling block. Now, that pasuk, by the way, the pshat in that pasuk does not mean that it's usher to put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. It's usher to do that, literally. If you see someone blind, it's usher to take a block and put it in front of them. It's usher because of another pasuk in the Torah, you're not allowed to cause damage to somebody else. So with that, Chazal understood that the pasuk can't mean that, literally, because we already know that from not hurting another person physically. So therefore, we understand the pasuk to mean that you cannot mislead someone into doing an aveira. Classically, the Gemara Nazir says, your friend takes upon herself a Nazirus, not to drink wine, and you go over to your friend and say, here's a nice glass of wine, enjoy yourself. So that's lifnei iver. You are setting up for your friend to do an aveira. In modern times, perhaps more of an issue, the issue comes up with inviting the non-religious for Shabbos. You know they're going to drive to your house on Shabbos. What do you do in such a case? That's not a discussion right now. But essentially doing an action that will set up someone to do an Aveira. So there is, again, going back to the Sol Salanta, a great machlokas amongst the poskim, is there lifnei iver for midos? Am I allowed to do A and it will cause you to display bad midos? Give you a big compliment, and you're going to walk around all day thinking you are the Gadol Hador, you are Hashem's gift to this world. It's going to cause you to feel gaiva. Am I allowed to do something that's going to cause you to have bad midos? Comes the Sefer Tznuas HaMusar, and he writes in Chelek Aleph, and again the Torah Rav Yisrael Salanter records that Rav Yisrael Salanter understood that there is no iser, there is no prohibition of lifnei iver when it comes to midos. And he says, therefore, you're allowed to honor someone at the dinner, even though they're going to think that they are the biggest baal tzedakah since, Bill Gates. That they are going to be, you know, the greatest gift to the community of all time. Even though you're honoring them at the dinner, it's going to cause them to feel a great sense of gaiva, you're still allowed to do it. And this issue is also raised by Rav Nassan Einfeld in the Sefer Minchas Nassan on Kedushin, and the Minchas Nassan is discussing in other tshuvas as well. He cites Rav Yisrael Salanter saying there's no lifnei iver for bad midos. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Sicha also holds of this opinion that there's no lifnei iver when it comes to bad midos. The Sefer Tznuas HaMusar in Chelek Beis, the Sefer Tznuas HaMusar is the main source of all of the stories about the Musar movement and the great leaders of the Musar movement. A guy named Rav named Rav Dov Katz wrote about a little bit less than 100 years ago all of the stories and the recollections and all the happenings of the growth of the Musar movement and the Musar personalities of the 1800s. So he records a story that he heard from Avisar Zalman Meltzer. During Simchas Beis HaShoeva in Rav Yitzchak Zalman Meltzer's yeshiva, so the Bachrim and Rav Yitzchak Blazer was the great student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, would sing and dance. Eventually, the Bachrim would pressure Rav Yitzchak Blazer to dance in front of him, and they would sing a song, Tzadi Katamar Yifrach. They would sing a song about the tzidkus, the great righteousness of Rav Yitzchak Blazer. And one time, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer asked Rav Yitzchak Blazer, why are you allowed to let somebody honor you that way, in such a fashion? Isn't it going to cause you to have a sense of gaiva, to think that you're more than you are? So Rav Yitzchak Blazer said that Rav Yisrael Salanter told him, there's no lifnei iver when it comes to midos. It's not their responsibility to make sure I have good midos. It's my responsibility to make sure that I humble myself. But if they want to honor me, that's not their fault. And Rav Issa Zalman explained that there's a chiyuv to honor one's Rebbe, and therefore he's not allowed to stop them, even though it could lead to Rav Yitzhak Blaser experiencing gaiva. And then it is recorded in the name of Chaim Shraga Levine, quoting Rav Eliyahu Dov Lazarevich, that he heard with his own ears that they would lift Rav Yitzhak Blaser on their shoulders to dance with him by the Simchat Pesach Shoeva, and that he would sing along with the tune that they were singing. But he sang different words. He would sing the words, Sachvu es hanavela. They're dragging a nevela. They're dragging a dead body. So he would sing to the tune and clap along with them, but he would mutter to himself, they think they're carrying a tzaddik, they're really just dragging along a nothing. So he said, the midos are my responsibility. I'll fix my midos. They want to dance with me? By all means. While they're dancing with me, I'm going to repeat to myself, I'm a nothing. I'm not due this kavod. I have a lowly place in the world. And therefore, this neighbor is not their problem. It's my issue to work on my midos.
What does it mean, lift neighbor?
Lift neighbor means to put a stumbling block in front of someone, causing them to do the wrong thing. Comes Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes in the Sefer Musar Avicha, and he heard that there was a Gavra Rabba, a great person, who said that there was no lift neighbor when it came to midos. Who is he talking about? But he doesn't want to call him out by name. So he says, I heard there was a Gavra Rabba, a great person. And he says he doesn't understand this reasoning. And he says, surely it is usur to cause somebody else to have bad midos. He says, if we don't know how a person will act, then there's nothing constrains us from dealing with them in a specific manner. But if we know the nature of a person, and we know that if we act in a certain way, it will cause him to display improper midos, then it is certainly 100% usur to mislead him. And he brings two proofs. One is that Chazal made a law in many cases not to do something because it will be mechse kiyuhara. It will appear as if you are haughty. So if Chazal had a law that you shouldn't act too from, because it's going to appear as if you're haughty, it means that Chazal cared about not misleading you in your midos. In addition, the Gemara in Brachos Lamates says that you shouldn't regularly slice large pieces of food for your guests. Because if you give them large servings, they're going to eat in a gluttonous fashion, and they're going to have bad table manners. Table manners are under midos. Even though that might not be as popular anymore, but having good table manners are under the rubric of having good midos. And therefore, said Rav Kook, why does the Gemara not want you to give giant slices of food to your guests? Because they're going to pick up that tomahawk steak, and you're going to act like an animal, and you're going to lose your sense of self. And therefore, we see from here as well that we don't want to mislead people in their midos, and therefore we give them appropriate portions of food. Rav Sriya Dablitsky, who's a Rav in Bnei Brak, cites in the Zeh Shulchan, he agrees with Rav Kook, and he says there's no lift neiva for midos as well. He says that he disagrees, he says there is no lift neiva for midos. He brings a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hei, which says that when Rava was sick, the first day he would not tell other people he was sick, lest his mazel turn bad, and after the first day he would ask his servants to announce to people he was sick, and he said as follows, why am I announcing to people that I'm sick? Whoever loves me will daven for me for rachamei shemayim, that Hashem will heal me. And he said, whoever hates me will rejoice that I'm sick and maybe I'll die. So it says, "Binfolay vecha al tismach pinirei Hashem heishiv b'malav apo," that Hashem will take care of whoever who loves you or hates you. So, lifnei iver was a problem, say the poskim, then why would he allow his enemies to set up a situation where they would hate him? Why would that be allowed? It must be that you're allowed to mislead people in midos. Let's go through a number of examples of lifnei iver when it comes to midos. What about gaiva? The Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Ches says, Miktsa shivcho shel adam om mibafanav v'kulo shelo bafanav. Right? You're allowed to praise somebody a little bit in front of them, but you can't say all of the praise in front of them. You're about to introduce somebody, a speaker or something like that, so you say something nice about them. You don't say everything nice about them. Rashi explains, it's proper derech eretz, because if you praise them too much, it's going to be false flattery. But the Marsha says that we don't praise a person too much in front of him because that he shouldn't become a baal gaiva, seemingly lifnei iver when it comes to midos. This is the sheet of other poskim as well. The Sefer Pele Yoetz, Rav Eliezer Papo, says it's usher to knowingly cause someone to be haughty, and he says if you praise someone too much in front of them, it will cause them to be haughty, even though you thought you were doing a mitzvah. Really, you're violating lifnei iver, and he repeats this in a number of his other svarim as well. I saw Rosh Shlomo Fisher, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Itri in Eretz Yisrael. He writes in a Sefer Beis Yishai that Gaiva is an Isser in the Torah and will be Lifne Iver. And he says, if the person will get a normal level of pleasure out of flattering them, then that's okay. But if you know the person is going to take that little bit of flattery and go above and beyond and use it all day and tell, do you know what he said about me? He thinks I'm so amazing and I'm incredible, and he's going to take it and go on and on and on about it. So you have to hold back a little bit. Says Rosh Shlomo Fisher, a normal level of flattery is okay. That's within reason. But if the person is going to go above and beyond, then that is too much. They asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, they asked him, are you allowed to go in front of a great Talmud Chacham and make the bracha of Shechalach Mechachmasa L'Reav? There's a bracha made on seeing great Talmud Chachamim, and the bracha is that Hashem gave of his wisdom to this person. So if I get up in front of an Adam Gadol, a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, and I say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shechalach Mechachmasa L'Reav, that Hashem gave of his wisdom to this person, isn't that going to cause the Talmud Chacham to be haughty, that people are making such a brach on him? So he explained that for a real Talmud Chacham, it doesn't cause gaiva. If it's a real tzaddik, when they hear somebody making that brach on them, it'll make them feel like dirt. They're going to think, someone thinks this about me, it's not worthy, I'm not worthy of such a thing, and he doesn't think it will cause gaiva. Next, lo sach, yeah.
What happens if you're in a situation where it says don't hate your fellow Jew in your heart?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in a second.
Then he gets angry at you, so you make him in a bad mitos, so what do you do?
Good. We'll get to that in a second. Good. What? Yeah.
Example you just said, a same brahman from the tzaddik, and he's going to think he thinks dirt. But that's bad also. Like,
no. Now he's going to think he's dirt. I mean, he's going to think that he's not worthy of such a thing. That they're making a mistake. They think I'm something that I'm not. It's his sense of himself. Perhaps another time we'll discuss the Chafetz Chaim's famous statement about, can you speak Lashon Hara about yourself? But we'll leave that for another time. Lo sachmod, causing somebody to covet. So the Orcha Tzadikim writes, says that Chachamim Harishonim, they would daven that they not do anything to cause to envy other people. And he explains that often people are very showy and it causes people to violate lo sachmod. Says the Orcha Tzadikim, it could be that you buy a new Ferrari and you're driving it down Central Avenue. What are you driving it down Central Avenue for? Because you want people to see your new car, because you want people to be envious of you. He says you have to be honest what you're doing with such an item. You buy things that you need and that's fine. But to go and build something, to go and build a home, to go and use a car, to go and dress in such a way that people will say, oh, I want that. I want that the person has. Says the Orcha Tzadikim, Lifnei Iver of Lo Sachmod, causing people to covet. If they want to keep to themselves, that's fine. Buy it for yourselves. Don't show it to anybody else. But to go and show it off is an issue of causing people to feel Lo Sachmod. The Sefer Chassidim writes in Os Sadi Tes, you shouldn't overly praise your spouse to other people so that it won't lead to Lo Sachmod. People say, oh, well, how come my wife's not like that? How come my husband's not like that? So you have to be reasonable as well when it comes to these things. Next, Kas. Can you cause someone to experience anger? Is that allowed? Kas is a very bad midah. Anger is one of the worst midos we can describe. Are you allowed to cause someone to experience Kas? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, in Perak Aleph, there's an Isser of Kas based on V'halach to Bedrachav, walking in Hashem's way. We'll get to that later on. The Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Beis Amin Aleph says that Rav Huna once took a very expensive silk and he tore it in front of his son Rabba to see if Rabba would get angry. How could he do this? If Rabba would get angry, so then Rav Huna would have violated Lifnei Iver, says the Gemara. So Rav Huna pardoned that he was mochel on his kavod, so that even if he got angry, it wouldn't be such a... I won't care if you get angry at me. Rav Huna, then Gemara then asked, well, what about Baal Tashchis? To go and take silk and rip it up, isn't that Baal Tashchis ruining perfectly good things? So he says he tore it at the seams, so it only appeared as if he was ripping it. They have that magic show with the dollar bill. You make that sound, looks like you're ripping it, but you're not actually ripping it. So it pretended like he was ripping it, and it only on the seams. It wasn't actually on the silk itself. So it didn't depreciate the value. So if so, why would Rabba get angry? So the Gemara says it looked angry when he tore it, and he would assume that he tore it in a destructive manner. So this seems to indicate that you can't cause people to get mad. Or the, you can. Or on the letter of the law, you can cause people to get mad. Yeah.
I have a problem with the whole concept of causing someone to get mad.
Yeah.
Because if you have good self-esteem, no one has that power over you to make you get mad.
Halavai, we should all be at the level we have such self-esteem. So when we all reach that level, we'll come back and we have what to work on. When we all get to that stage, so we'll work on it. So comes Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, and he writes in the Torah Lishman Simon Shanayin, and he discusses if it's Lifnei Iver to get someone upset, and he says that since the Gemara only had an issue with Lifnei Iver when it came to violating Kibud Av V'Eim, meaning when the Gemara said, oh, but it's Lifnei Iver, how can you cause him to get upset? Says Rav Yosef Chaim, it was talking about Kibud Av V'Eim, that he was going to cause his son to speak disrespectfully to him when he's tore the silk. But we see that it wasn't talking about the anger. The only issue was the honoring the parents. And therefore he says, there is no Lifnei Iver to cause someone to get upset. The Birkei Yosef, the Chida, asks why it's okay for Rav Huna to get upset. Even if it would have been Lifnei Iver, it would have been the fault of Rabbah to show anger. And therefore it must have meant as well that it didn't reach a very bad level of kas. It was only simply getting irritated. The Tzafnas Paneach says that there's no Isser to show kas. Therefore there's no issue of Lifnei Iver. Rav Yosef Chaim Zarenfeld says it's not always Usser to show kas. And therefore there are times where it's permitted to show kas if you need to show an aspect of strength, that people should stop doing something dangerous, or you want to set a tone. There are times where a person can display kas, can display anger under the right circumstances. And I saw Yitzhak Abadi, who's a posek in Lakewood, he writes in the Or Yitzhak and Chaluk Beis, there's no proof in the Gemara, there's no Lifnei Iver for kas. And we have Yer Machlokas as well when it comes to Lifnei Iver, when it comes to getting people upset. What about causing people to hate another Jew? There's an isra of lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha. You can't cause people to hate. So this actually chaps a nafkamina in two areas of halacha. You have dinner with someone, or you invite guests over to your house, and the person who comes is not observant. And you go and put out some food, and you know very well that when you put out something to eat and something to drink, your guest is not going to make a bracha on that food. The Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly in Hilchos Brachos that you may not serve food to another Jew if you know that he is not going to make a bracha. It is Lifnei Iver, because you're causing him to steal from Hashem. Eating without making a food is stealing. If you serve him food, you're going to cause him to steal from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what that's the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch. Now that might have been...
You can't entertain anybody non-Jew?
That, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Now that may have been fine and dandy in the 1600s in Sfas, but we live in a very different time. If you invited your non-observant relative over to your house, or you had guests over at a different time, you had a business partners over, things like that, and you brought out the hamburgers and the hot dogs from the grill during the summer for your guests, and you told them, you know, I'm only going to serve this to you if you go into the kitchen and wash your hands with water from a cup and make a blessing on it, that's the only way we're going to get dinner. There's only two ways that's going to go. Either you are the Avram Avinu of this generation, and you have just inspired them to go make brachos all of a sudden, or, in the other fashion, you're going to turn them off to Yiddishkeit very, very quickly, and they're not going to get what's going on. So how is that supposed to work nowadays? Writes the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, he says that if you don't serve this person food, because they're not going to make a bracha, and they are starving in your house, or you serve them food, but you hold them hostage until they learn to make a bracha, they are going to hate you, they're going to hate Jews, and they're going to hate the Torah. Lo sisnes achicha bilvavecha, to not hate another Jew, is an iser de oraisa. Not making a bracha on a food is an iser de rabbanan. It is lifnei iver, says the Chazon Ish, to not serve that person food, because you're going to cause them to hate Hashem and Jews and other people. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, bizman hazeh, 100% you serve that guest food, because it is the right thing to do in order to bring that person closer to Hashem and just to act with midos as a human being. This is extended by Rav Asher Weiss in a different aspect. You get into a taxi in Eretz Yisrael, as often happens, and the taxi driver says, "Nu, Dvar Torah bishvil Shabbat? Do you have a Dvar Torah for Shabbos? What did you hear?" Now, at that moment in time, there's a good chance that your taxi driver did not make a Birchas HaTorah that morning. If you tell him, well, before I give you this Dvar Torah on Parshas Matos Masei, you better make a Birchas HaTorah first, he's probably not going to have the best taxi ride to your destination. It may work out, but there's a good chance it won't. So says Rav Asher Weiss, of course you tell him the Dvar Torah, even if he didn't make a Birchas HaTorah, because it's going to cause him at least to become close to Tar Mitzos, and he's going to hate you if you don't. And therefore, in this case, of course you're going to have the situation to make the bracha, you're going to serve the food or give the Dvar Torah, in order to make sure that we don't lead to greater violations of the Torah. Let's move on now to the source of Midos. Where do we turn to see Midos in Halacha? And that is the pasuk of V'halachta Bidrachav, that we walk in the path of Hashem. Says the Gemara Masechta Sota and Daf Yudal Amar Aleph, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu, you should walk after Hashem. Ask the Gemara, V'chiyav Shalo La'odam La'halich Achar Shechina, how could I walk after Hashem? Hashem doesn't have a body. There's no footsteps. How am I supposed to walk after Hashem? Says the Gemara, "Bahalo kvar namar ki Hashem lo kacha eish ochla." Hashem is an all-consuming fire. There's no physical aspect to Hashem. Ella lahalach acher midos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. You walk after Hashem by mimicking the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufla and Gimel on the base teaches us Abba Shal Omer va'anveyu. The pasuk says in Azir Asher Zekeli va'anveyu. Va'anveyu means havedomelo, be similar to him. Mahu chanun v'rachum afata haya chanun v'rachum. Just like Hashem is merciful, so too you should be merciful. When it comes to how a Jew should act in the world of midos, we turn towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Rabbi Soloveitchik picked up the idea of a halachta bidrachav and used it in many, many different contexts as well. For example, Rabbi Soloveitchik would say, just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is unique, right? We sing Echad Miodea by Leil HaSeder. Just like Hashem is unique, Hashem is special, Hashem is different, so too every person is unique and special and different in this world. Just like Hashem treats every person in a unique and different way, so too we should mimic Hashem in our uniqueness and treat people in a special and unique way as well. This is one extension of a halachta bidrachav. And every person has to recognize that they are special, they have something to bring to the world. Another place this would apply, just as a side example, is in the realm of tznius. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Achein ata kel mistater elokei Yisrael, Moshiach. Yeshayahu Navi describes Hashem as a kel mistater, a hidden God. And Hashem sometimes does such a good job of hiding himself that people deny that there's God in the world. But to the extent that Hashem hides himself in the world. So Rav Shechter will often say that this is the source in the Torah for being tzanua. Tzanius is not something for women versus men. Being tzanua is a midah for everyone. A person should try to always stay in the background unless they need to be called to the front. Sometimes it happens in shul. The guy always wants to daven for the amud. He always wants to be the chazan. It's good to have a bit of tznius. You don't always have to run to the amud. You don't always have to run to be the person in the front, showing off, jumping up and down. Tznius is a midah we should follow Hashem in other areas. The Bamidbar Rabbah says, "Achelo amud oel moed davri mo besneh." Hashem spoke with Moshe Rabbeinu in different areas throughout his career as a Navi. He spoke to him by the burning bush, and he spoke to him in Eretz Mitzrayim, and he spoke to him in Midjan, and he spoke to him by Midbar Sinai. But where was the most comfortable place for Hashem to speak with Moshe? Amar Kevan Sha'amad Ba'al Moed, Amar Yafahu Atznius. Only when Hashem and Moshe were talking to each other in the privacy of the Mishkan and the Ol Moed, did Hashem feel, kaviyachon, so to speak, that that was the proper place for him. Tzanua, Moshe alone with him in the Ol Moed, this is the way it should be. Vatznei alecha sim Hashem alokecha, we should be modest with Hashem. And therefore the idea of tznius is also learnt out from the halachta bidrachav. The Mishnah Avos begins, Moshe kibel Torah misina. We're all familiar with this opening to Pirkei Avos. It seems a bit obvious and late, since we're already four Siddurim into Mishnayos. We went through Zrayim, Moed, Nashim, and most of Nezikin. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi picks up and says, oh, by the way, all these Mishnayos you've been learning, Moshe gave them to us at Har Sinai. So it seems a little bit late to the party. Where was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the first four books of Mishnayos? And he waited to the end of Nezikin. So what's going on? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, citing a comment of the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura explains that Pirkei Avos is Musar. It's not Halacha. Pirkei Avos is good advice from Chazal, but it's not halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And therefore the Bar Tanura says that we want to make sure you should know that not only are all the laws of Brachos and Shabbos and Trumas and Maestros and cows goring other cows and not stealing from people and laws of marriage and divorce and all those things we've been learning about for the last four Siddur and Mishnayos, all of that comes from Hashem, we know that. But you know what also comes from Hashem? Musar. Musar and Midos and acting properly, that also comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe and Har Sinai. So Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that that was a bit inexact. And in reality, Midos are also part of the Torah HaMitzvos because of V'halach Bedrachav. Midos come from V'halach Bedrachav and how we learn to act in certain ways. Similar to the Or Sameach, unlike mitzvos that are clearly defined, korbanos, holidays, open up a Shulchan Aruch, do this, go there, stand here, sit down, all those different things. Midos depend on each person and depend on each situation. And this is compared to Talmud Torah and Staka, which are not for the same person, right? Tzedakah depends on how much you have, how much you can give, how much you can afford. Talmud Torah the same way as well. The more a person can give to those endeavors, the more you can give to the Midos, good, the less you can do, so you have to work on it and do better. And this is why Moshe was punished, said Rabbi Soloveitchik, for hitting the rock, because for him hitting the rock was a big deal. For other people, it would not be as severe. 2 points. The world of Musar and Midos, we don't paskin, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. It depends on the situation, and we have a machlokas in these matters, how to act in certain situations. There's no halacha, there's no Shulchan Aruch, because there's no psak when it comes to Midos. 2 is that the Masorah, the traditions of how to use Midos, is not generally given in a shir, in a base medrash, like we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is actually a bidiyeved. This is not the way it should be. The best way to learn about Midos is to go learn from people who have a beautiful Midos. That's the best thing. To raise a home with beautiful Midos. To have parents that have beautiful Midos. That's the best way to learn about Midos, of Shimush Talmidei Chacham. I'm learning from great people and how to act. Coming to a base medrash and learning with halachos and sources and things like that, that's a bit, yeah, but that's not the best way. The best way to learn Midos is from people who have great Midos.
What does it mean, no pesach?
No, there was no, like when you open up a Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says, like, you know, you have to say the bracha by this time, the bracha on this food is this, it's definitive, and nothing left to discuss. In Midos, it's more gray, it's more malleable, it depends on the situation, and it's not so clear cut. This then leads to the obvious question. If we say that all Midos are learned from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is the model for how we're supposed to act, what about last week's Parsha? We praise Pinchas that he took care of Hashem's kina, Hashem's jealousy. How often does the Torah say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vayichar af, Hashem has kas, Hashem gets upset. Or Hashem is described as geus lavesh, Hashem wears haughtiness. But what about those midos, those things we look in the Torah, and we would not want our children doing? We would not want our children to act. So what about those areas? How come Hashem tells us we can cherry pick the midos we are allowed to take, but the midos that Hashem does we're not allowed to take? Why is that fair? Why can't I have kina and kas and gaiva just like Hashem is described in the Torah? So here as well, the Rishonim help us out. Comes the Sefer Achinuch. Who wrote the Sefer Achinuch? Also a trick question, anonymous as well. It is often ascribed to Rav Aaron Halevi, who is of the Talmidim of the Ramban, but it's been shown historically that it cannot be him as well. There's contradictions in Psak, the things that he says. Sefer HaChinuch also on the most Jewish homes, but again, somehow left anonymous because the quality of the work was so good, we just don't care. So he writes in Mitzvah Tuf Reshit Aleph, the third to last mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of Halach Bedrachav. He says these descriptions of our Hashem are only metaphors to understand Hashem's manifestation in this world. Hashem doesn't have kina, he doesn't have kas, he doesn't have gaiva. The way we experience that relationship with Hashem, it appears to us as if it is anger or haughty or something of that nature. But it's not actually those things, it's just the manifestation of how it works into our worldview. Kadosh Baruch Hu is 100% perfect. The Drushas HaRan, the Ran, one of the great Rishonim, has a beautiful series of essays. And in one of his essays, in the 10th essay, I want to read to you what he writes in such a beautiful fashion. He's discussing the role of Onesh, of punishment in this world. Why does Hashem punish us? And what's the purpose of punishment? And he explains that Hashem never wants to punish anyone. We are told, what does Hashem ask of us? Hashem wants us to succeed. Hashem wants us to do well. Hashem doesn't want us to fail. Hashem wants us to do great every single day. Hashem is our best supporter in the world. Nobody wants us to do as well as the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do in this world. Hashem wants us to have Yirat Shamayim and do the correct thing. Only when we distance ourselves from Hashem does Hashem then need to give us a push. Onesh, punishment, is there to give us a push in the right direction. Sometimes we need a small push, and sometimes we need a bigger push to get us there. But Onesh, says the Ran, is never personal. She'ein ha'onesh ha'ba min Hashem yisparach al b'nei adam mikavein la'atzmo. It's never personal. Hashem doesn't have vendettas against anybody in this world. Aval hi'asher osam, it is to strain us out, o lahagein alachem, to protect other people, shol yilmedu ma'aseim, that people should learn from your bad behavior. And then he goes on to say, he says, Anu yachol milmod she'ena mishubachas mitzad atzma. Hashem doesn't want to punish us. Even though it says in the Torah, lo sikam v'lo sitor, Hashem shouldn't take revenge, that does not apply to Hashem. Mashid tuar Hashem yisparach alea ka'omar. That which we say Hashem is kel kano v'nokeim Hashem, that Hashem is a God of retribution who pays back those who do wrong. Einenu mituar ba mitzad hanakama ba'atzma. It is not because Hashem has a sense of jealousy or Hashem has a sense of revenge. Ava mitzad hatov haninshach imena. It comes from Hashem's goodness. L'fichach amar Rabbi Seinu, therefore it says, she efshar shemishuhut hatov ha'gamor umakor hatovos kulan yimshach imenu rab etzem. If Hashem is kulo tov, if Hashem is completely good, it is not possible that Hashem can have an aspect of jealousy or vengefulness in him. Punishment comes for our benefit. If we view onesh in the world from that perspective of a way to get us closer to Hashem, it changes the whole dynamic in our relationship of Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is not there to paralyze us and make us feel as if we can't do anything, and Hashem is out there to give us a patch. Hashem is there to help us succeed. And sometimes that succeeding comes with hard knocks and tough things in life as well. But we see here from the Ran, what we want to bring out is that punishment is that Hashem is not vengeful. Hashem manifests those ways in ways that are helpful for our growth, and we only perceive it in that negative sense. That's approach number one. Number two, comes the Ma'arivayil, one of the great Chachmei Ashkenaz, and he writes in Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he says, there is an additional mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, that you shouldn't do everything Hashem does. Because there's Yiras Hashem, that means, would you go, the king is allowed to do certain things. The king has a horse. The king has a throne. Well, I want to be just like the king. So I should go ride on the king's horse and sit on the king's throne? No. Hashem has permission. Hashem has latitude to do things that you can't do. Hashem can have midos of kas. Hashem can have midos of kinah. And you can't. Tough. He's the master of the world. You're not. And therefore Hashem has certain aspects that he's allowed to access. And that is part of the aspect of Yiras Hashem, that Hashem has places he can go that we are not allowed to go. That's approach number two. Three, the Maharal writes in his Chedushia Gadol, Hanakamar and Sota, he says that we are only allowed to act in the ways of Chaste Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, but not his mishpat, not his strictness. The reason is that everyone can figure out the right way to do Chesed. You can't do Chesed too much. You can't go rarely. I mean, you can sometimes, but rarely, no one's going to complain that you did too much Chesed. You went over the line in your Chesed. But when it comes to mishpat, when it comes to judgment, we are too quick to go over that line too early. We're harsh, and we are judgmental, and we use those tools perhaps in an improper way. And therefore, says the Maharal, Hashem can do those things because Hashem knows where the line is. But we don't know where that line is, and therefore, we only engage in chesed, the chesed aspects of Hashem midos, and not the aspects of din, of judgment, in that aspect. Rav Zussman Eliezer Sofer was a Hungarian Rav. He was a student of the students of the Chassam Sofer, so he writes in his Yalkut Eliezer and Tehillim, he cites the Baal HaKedas Yitzhak of Yitzhak Arama, who asks, why Hashem is described with terms of jealousy and haughtiness? Why is that becoming Hashem to call him Kana, jealous and gayous of haughtiness? And he explains that the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how to use those midos and we don't. For him they're appropriate, but for us they are not. I saw a beautiful pshat from Rav Moshe Galanati, who is a Sfardi Rav in the Sefer Mashal Umelitza. And he cites the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin has a very specific order of how we learn from the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Kol zman she Yisrael chotem yasu lefanai keseder hazeh. When the Jewish people do the wrong thing, then we should invoke the 13 midos rachamim that we recite over the course of Slichos and Yom Kippur. Yud gimel midos rachamim. But the Gemara says, you should say in front of me, keseder hazeh. It needs to be in this order. At the very end of the 13 midos is nakeh, lo yinakeh, that Hashem will bring back retribution on those who sin. It's at the end of the 13 midos, says Rav Moshe Galanadi. It is not at the beginning. And therefore he says, it has to be keseder hazeh. Once you master Hashem Hashem, kel rachum v'chanum erach apayim rachas v'yames, once you've mastered all of those first 12 or 13 things, then says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then I'll let you go into that 13th realm, or that realm that's after the 13. But once we have not mastered those aspects, we have to stay far away. It has to be keseder hazeh. Those realms of nekama and gaiva and things like that are there after you have become totally rachem v'chanan, totally emes, all of those things. And for most people, I would say for everyone, can't get there. It's impossible. And therefore, it's there, but you're never going to touch it. And that's why it has to be keseder hazeh. He supports this with the directive, and when we are told to attack Midian, it says, Nekom niknas b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael will take revenge against Midian, me'ez ha-midyanim, achar te'asef alamecha. Only after the Jewish people have been gathered together. Only once there's achdus and unity, and once the Jewish people are on the same page, and there's brotherly love, only then can you go and enact the midas of nekama and use it in those ways. And for most people, that will probably never come. And even if we think we're acting l'shem shemayim, I'm displaying anger here because this is l'man Hashem, and I don't have a sense of kavod. I'm not disrespected because they didn't invite me to the wedding because, you know, it's my kavod, it's the kavod of my family. How can they do such a thing? I'm not going to talk to you for the next 20 years. The kavod, how could you say such a thing to me? It's not my kavod, it's l'man Hashem. It's a machlokas l'shem shemayim. So, with this in mind, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Satan upanina l'shem shemayim niskavnu. There were two people who said they were l'shem shemayim. One is the Satan, Hashem alo duk l'shem shemayim. And the other was Penina. That Penina harassed the other wife, Chana, and she said it was l'shem shemayim. No, but what happened to Penina's children? As Chana had more and more children, Penina had fewer and fewer children. Even Penina, who the Mefarshim will give her the benefit of the doubt that she was l'shem shemayim, she was still punished. Because you have to be so careful when you use questionable midos and you say that it is l'shem shemayim. I saw Rav Yonah San Aibishitz writes that the Gemara in Yuma says, Kol Tamid Chacham, she'enu nokim v'noter, kenachash, ain't the Tamil Chacham. Any Tamil Chacham who doesn't take retribution like a snake is not a Tamil Chacham. We're saying Tamil Chacham should take revenge and retribution. So says Rav Yonah San Aibishitz, no. It has to be like a snake. When a snake crawls on the ground and eats the dirt, does he get any pleasure? A snake's life is miserable. He crawls on the ground, he eats dirt, he's biting, it's no fun. And therefore he says, if you get no pleasure whatsoever, and you go and access those midos that seem harsh, then, says Rav Yonah San Aibishitz, and it's like a snake, then maybe we'll talk. But if you even get one iota of pleasure from enacting any of those questionable midos, then that is not v'halachta v'drachav, and you cannot learn them from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just to end with one point in a story. Rabbi Soloveitchik asks, how can we learn from the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is this consuming fire? How can we possibly learn from him? So he noted that the Gemara tells us that the demus of Yaakov Avinu, the image of Yaakov Avinu, is engraved on the kisei shel kavod, on the chair of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. Why? Because if we can't learn directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself because he is too far beyond us, then we look at those who represent Hashem. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara in Psachim Daf Chaf Beis, Es L'Rabos Tamid HaChachamim. Es comes to include Tamid HaChachamim. We learn from Tzaddikim, we learn from people greater than us how to act, and as Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the best midos are learned outside of the base medrash, not in a shir, to go and learn from and mimic those people who inspire us. So I want to end with a story. It is said about Rav Yecheskel Abramsky that one time he saw a young girl crying, and she couldn't stop crying. She was heaving, she was crying so much. And Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky went over to her and asked her what happened. And the young girl said that her friends, so-called friends, turned to her and said that her dress was ugly, that she didn't have a beautiful dress. And she was crying. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky sat down with her and said, I want you to go and tell your friends that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky says that you have the most beautiful dress in the world. And the Talmidim saw what was going on, and they said, what was this all about? Why did you take time to go do this? So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky said, the mitzvah is v'halachta b'drachav, to stick to the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, u'macha Hashem elokecha dima mi'al kol panim, that Hashem, in the days of Mashiach, will wipe away all of our tears. And therefore, says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, it is a no greater act of chesed and walking the path of Hashem than to walk away the tears of a child, to wipe away the tears of a child. So certainly this is v'halachta b'drachav. Something to think about as we continue into 3 weeks and we meet next time.